The following has been pre-recorded for broadcast at this time.
The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors. And, you know, if you're just getting underway to get to your deer stand, well, we've got some good listening for you here in this upcoming hour. We've got Brian Eiler with us from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife, and Heritage Service. He's the deer project leader. We've got Phil Norman, who is the... In studio dramatics, folks. It's all right. We've got Phil Norman with the Howard County Recreation and Parks Deer Program. So we're just cruising along here. And we're talking about a lot of different things on and off the air. We were talking earlier with Brian about the fact that Maryland at one point was bringing deer in from other states because our population was so
years ago. Yeah,
years ago. I mean,
and not just Maryland, but you know, across the whitetail range, they were, they were almost extinct in a lot of areas. So there was a lot of horse trading back in the day. You know, deer being restocked and moved. And
I make the point. You know, everybody celebrates Meshack Browning as the great hunter from out in western Maryland. You know, and he's written a book, and it's standard reading. It's a fabulous read. 44 years in the life of the hunter. But, you know, after Meshack got done, we didn't have a deer season for almost 50 years.
Boy, he was good.
He was good. Well, it was all market hunting at the time,
right,
you know, and he talked about, you know, killing all these deer and loading them on a you know, cart and hauling them to Baltimore to sell them and that type of thing.
So, there was, deer. There weren't a lot of deer around that, you know, turn of the century.
No, there weren't. That's right. And thank God for people like Teddy Roosevelt and others who recognized that and that we had to, you know, not preserve, but we had to conserve our wildlife.
Conservation.
And also sometimes forgotten in that mix is the fact that back in the late 19th century, earlier 20th century, agriculture was extremely widespread.
Yes,
in the eastern United States, and it's sort of hard to believe when you look around today, but back around 1900, there was only about 10 to 15% of the landscape in the eastern seaboard that was forested.
Mm. Really? 10 to 15%?
15% forest, and now we've got, although it's a very different forest with a lot of suburban homes underneath it, now we're somewhere up in the 65 to 75%, I believe, is the some of the current figures.
And we've actually not only have we seen an exponential increase in wildlife because of conservation measures, but we've actually created, at least here in Maryland and other places, the ideal habitat for white-tailed deer. You know, I mean, Maryland Public TV did a show a while back, probably in the early mid-90s, called Creatures of the Forest Edge.
Yeah.
When they were out filming deer in backyards and things like that, and it's done nothing but continue that path as far as development on the edge of, you know, I mean, the family farms are, I don't know, are there any working family farms in Howard County left anymore?
There are.
Mostly
thanks to the ag preservation.
Of course, yeah.
Zoning ordinances.
Yeah. But, I mean, were you hunting Howard County? I mean, you were hunting in and amongst the developments out there, you know, in the parks. I mean, those parks are the, are the interior, some of those developments, you know, and it's the developments are built on the edges of the park, and the people going through their neighborhoods have got to look out for deer every day when they go, and, you know, the school buses and everything else have got to watch for the deer crossing through there.
So. Brian mentioned the resiliency of the deer themselves, and we get reports every year of does dropping their fawns underneath people's decks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big
yeah.
bucks bedded down next to the porch swing. I have a infrared photo taken by one of our police aviators that fly our infrared mm-hmm. surveys in the wintertime of two big bucks on the edge of a patio feeding out of the pot, feeding on the potted plants yeah. that are right there on the patio.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect habitat, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's very productive. There's plenty of food.
Sure.
You've taken hunting out of the equation, so there's really no predator.
No predator.
So it's just, yeah, it's just ideal. It's better. It's better deer habitat than.
Well, we did a story a couple months ago on somebody that wants to reintroduce top tier predators all across the country to take care of the deer herd. I'm sure that Maryland's going to be in favor of, you know, mountain lions.
Yeah, that was
grizzly
making
bears.
That was making the rounds in the newspapers there a few months ago. Yeah,
yeah, there was a lot of press on mountain lions are going to be the solution to the deer roadkill problem.
Epidemic, yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, mountain lions in Maryland might not mix real well.
Well, we've got them in Western Maryland.
Yeah.
DNR will continuously deny the existence of mountain lions in Western Maryland.
When we have a roadkill mountain lion, I'll acknowledge that we have roadkill or that we have mountain lions. How's that? So you may get the occasional pass through. I won't say it
you
never
won't argue
happens,
that.
But we don't have a resident population.
No resident
of mountain
population
lions
of mountain lions in
the East. Period.
Let's put some other things to rest. Insurance companies introduced coyotes into Maryland.
No, you know, that rumor as well, it's just same rumor, different state, whether you're in Pennsylvania or Maryland, but no coyotes.
Yeah, but I know a guy shot one with a collar.
With an ear tag. Oh, I had a collar.
Ear tag, too, yeah.
State Farm insurance.
State Farm ear tag right there.
Still had its parachute harness on?
No, it did not.
Oh, okay.
Now, coyotes are really cool. I mean, from just their natural history, but you know, they were never in the East. You know, they're not like a lot of species where we pushed them out and then they're coming back. Coyotes were a Western species, and mainly due to wolves being not extirpated, but a lot fewer wolves, that has allowed coyotes to expand, and that's why we're getting coyotes in the East now. And Maryland and Delaware were actually the last two states to get coyotes.
Really, the last
two
states?
Yeah, we're the last two.
That.
Yeah, and we're actually getting them up from the south and down from the north. So no, they weren't helped. We have really no desire to have coyotes here. Just mainly more from the problems they can cause domestically with agriculture more than anything. But
now the southern coyotes, from what I understand, have some red wolf DNA.
Right.
And the northern coyotes have some gray wolf DNA.
Okay. So that's why you see the color variation.
I got a picture last night of a coyote that was killed right here in Park Heights in Greenspring. 50-pound female coyote.
And that's also, the size, they typically are bigger than a Western coyote for the same
very
reason.
Much so.
Because of that mixed with domestic dogs and wolves or whatever. So, it's
Do we have incidents of coy dogs here in Maryland? I know that some areas are a problem where they breed with, you know, with domestic dogs. But
I haven't heard of any.
I've seen them roadkill out in Western Maryland.
Yeah,
and, you hear about them in Frederick and Montgomery County. We got them on the lease. We had them. They're Southern Maryland. We got a story here in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly that's on the stands right now. This giant buck that's on the cover. He left the deer overnight. He shot it, jumped it, and let it go. When he got back to it the next day, the coyotes had eaten basically both hindquarters and up the back, and he lost like 15 pounds of meat to the coyotes.
Yeah,
deer still weighed 217 field vest.
Big deer. Big deer.
With all the meat missing.
So, I mean, we have them in every county.
Sure.
And they're going to probably continue to expand. Not a lot we can do about it. But, no, we had no hand in them getting here. That was all on I'm sure. I'm positive. That was all on their own. So,
all right. Yeah.
Again, an extremely resilient animal.
You've got them in Howard County Park.
Yeah.
Guys will see them every now and then. I've not seen one. But
The hunters see them quite regularly, and
yes, I did see one.
I've seen a few over the course of my scouting around, and yeah, so on.
I saw a big dark one out at Alpha Ridge last year, a year before, a big blackish-looking thing. I don't know.
Yeah,
you probably heard reports of that one, too.
Yeah. They had some video a couple of years ago of a big black one over in one of the Montgomery County parks.
Uh-huh.
That was circulating on one of the online video outlets.
Gotcha. And they will, you know, I mean, as far as from a deer control standpoint, they could have a, you know, they're primarily just going to feed on fawns.
On
they're
the fawns,
they're
sure.
opportunistic. So,
yeah.
I mean, so, I mean, you could have a local impact, you know, if there's a pack, around or
do you see
know.
That as, do you see but that as any impact on the population?
Not as a whole. Not,
you tell me, that every year.
So, no, and no other state that I'm aware of, other than, you know, down south, they're looking down south. It may be, they may have an impact in some areas down there, but the breeding's very different. I think we've talked about that before. You know, you have a lot longer breeding season in the south, so those fawns are dropping continuously.
Right.
And then, so they're easy picking, whereas in the north, we have that pulse. We were talking about the rut earlier. You know, most of our does are bred the first 2 weeks of November.
Right.
They all dump their fawns late May, early June. So the coyotes will take some of those fawns until they're mobile, and then they're shifting to other, you know, to other prey sources.
Got it.
Small mammals are the main.
And it's only a couple days between birth and when a fawn is
ready
mobile.
To go. It's a 200-day gestation period for white-tailed deer. Am I correct on
that? Yeah, roughly 200.
200 days. Got it. Yeah. And 300 spots on each fawn.
300. I read that somewhere. I never counted it, but I did read that somewhere.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. I think we should. I'm going to tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop, and they are your full-line Browning dealer. Now, you know, we're also looking at goose season coming in, so I want to talk a little bit about some of the shotguns. And we always start with the BPS pump because that's a very reasonably priced gun. It's available 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and even 10-gauge models. If you like that pump-action shotgun, it comes in a Mossy Oak break-up Infinity Camo finish. It's called DuraTouch Armor Coating to help prevent rust. The feature about the BPS is the bottom ejection. You're not smacking the guy next to you in the goose pit or the deer or the duck blind with those shells coming out the side. Then, if you're really into the big goose hunting and maybe snow goose hunting, the Gold Light 10-gauge is available. It comes with it's a gas-operated autoloader with a 3.5-inch chamber, chambered in 10-gauge. You want to check out the Gold Light 10-gauge as well. The Maxis, that's the one that Browning built for waterfowl hunting. 3 and/or 3.5-inch chambers. It's got the new power drive gas system that reduces recoil. Also comes in Mossy Oak camo, and then my favorite, the A5, the most reliable, fastest cycling, best balanced, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. Comes with that recoil-operated kinematic drive system. So the recoil ejects a shell, not a gas. It's got a 100,000 round or a 5-year guarantee. Comes in Mossy Oak Shadow Grass blades camo, if you like. The A5, all available at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports. Clydesports.com is the website. We'll be right back after these messages.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. You know, Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blind website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. Gun owners, hunters, and shooters, Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom, easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906, above precision, beyond accurate.
Start your day with Sean and Frank, Maryland's wake-up call, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yes, some folks say I'm a simple kind of man. I love the outdoors, eat my beans from a can. I like hunting, fishing, don't care what the tree huggers say. I learn more about life sitting out in the woods or on the banks of a river when the fishing's no good. And if I go home skunk, well, hell, I still had a good day. 'Cause if I can't go hunting, I'll go fishing. If I can't go fishing, I'll be wishing that I find something fun to do before I call it a day.
Hey, and we're back. We're back with Bill Norman from Howard County Recreation and Parks Deer Management Program and Brian Eiler with Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife and Heritage Service. He's the Deer Project Leader. And Brian's been a regular guest here on the first day of deer season last several
quite
years.
Quite a few years.
Yeah, quite
yeah,
a few.
Quite a few
and
years.
Phil's always been able to join us for the prayer here the last several years and very seldom in person, so we're glad to have you here today.
Made it a few times.
Yeah, a few
glad
times.
Glad to be here this morning.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. We're pre-recording the show for the first day of the deer firearm season, and probably some things we need to know about our deer herd out there. We've talked about how well it's been managed and how, you know, the deer numbers have been dropping probably by over a third, I would say, in the last decade from a high of 300,000.
Yeah, our modeling shows around 300,000 back around 2002, 2003.
And right.
We're probably down closer to 200,000 now.
Yeah. And that's, you know, unlimited does with bow hunting, you know, archery, right. And 10 deer per season and that type of
right.
thing. And we still got those guys out there. But we're looking at you, those guys out there that are killing bucks with every time they get a chance, not checking their does in. I mean, these are the narrative wells that we get.
Yeah.
You know. And
we're watching.
You got
luckily, you know, I think the number of bad apples is you know, pretty small compared to the whole
it is,
the whole,
but
population.
They're blatant about it.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, with the hopefully with the Poaching Restitution Act in place now, the bad guys will start to get the message that it's going to hit them.
Get
in
their
the
attention.
So, get their attention. They're already talking about it. A lot of people talking about it. It's in the hunting guide. And,
good.
You know, shoot that buck and it costs you $10,000 all of a sudden.
It's just unfortunate. You know, I think it's a game to some of these guys because
it
with our bag limits, I mean, there's so much opportunity as it is.
Sure.
You know, why you need to do that, I don't know.
But
other than the fact that
and I don't get the personal satisfaction.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
I don't know.
Like their mind is warped somehow or another.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, nice guys, but, yeah, I got my fourth buck today. Really? It's November 15th here. Yeah, I got them all with a bow, too.
You see that kind of thing with criminal activity in any number of other realms as well.
Well, that's true. I mean, hunting, you know.
It's just part of the criminal mind that
sure.
No wonder we don't understand it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the furthest thing removed from my mind is killing a deer illegally.
Right.
That's the point. I mean, that's the whole challenge is to go out there and challenge the deer and, you know, do it legally and that type of thing. But unfortunately, There are some bad actors out there. But let's talk about some stuff that people don't like to talk about, but it's certainly a reality. We've got deer out there that are afflicted in certain ways.
Yeah, it's a small number.
Sure. Some of those deer that catch a disease called epizootic hemorrhagic disease, mm-hmm. EHD. Some people call it blue tongue, mm-hmm. whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. You find them typically more so in the summer rather than in the fall, or maybe just find the remains in the fall if you're out there deer hunting.
Right.
This is the disease that comes when there's a wet spring and a dry summer, pretty much.
Yeah. It's viral. Gnats or no-see-em midges.
Yeah, little bug, biting bug.
You know, they're responsible for it. They, you know, bite a deer. And, it can be fairly devastating in local areas when mm-hmm. we have it. It's cyclic. So, I mean, we haven't had a big outbreak probably in 5 or 6 years. We were just talking about that.
Sure.
But, so we're due.
Yeah.
But nothing you can do about it. Some deer do survive. Yep. If you kill a deer this year and you notice the hooves are kind of sloughing off, and the hooves look really nasty, that's a real good indicator that that deer probably had HD, hemorrhagic disease, and survived it. It can, in localized areas, it can kill over 20% of the deer herd in some cases. Now the deer bounce right back. Sure. A couple years you never knew.
What about the deer with the big long
elf hooves?
Elf hooves.
What's
that all about?
Most likely is associated with bait and foundering and it's
explained.
It hasn't been proven, but it'll cause irritation in the hooves. And to where the deer won't walk on their hooves, and so it allows the hoof to grow. And then
what causes the irritation? The excessive diet of corn.
Well, it impacts. Yeah, I don't know how to
boil it down as quickly as as simply.
Yeah,
as
well,
possible.
Just as simple as I can. Yeah, it causes an irritation, an infection in the lower leg in the hooves. They don't walk on the hooves, and it causes elf feet. It hasn't been proven that that's what it is.
Right.
But that's probably what we're thinking. It's a small number of deer. We get reports every year. We'll get some pictures of it every year. And if we can get some that we'll take them to the, we can get some more testing done, we'll try to do that. The lab we work with, I think they have had a couple deer that they have looked at and worked on. But
based on the diet.
I don't want to say for sure, but it's possible it could be related.
The hoof curving is because they're walking back on the backs of the toes rather than on the part, and they're not wearing the
tips down.
Yeah, and so then, like Brian said, now it's
but why exactly why that is?
Yeah, question. I mean, I've seen them.
Yeah, and foundering is well known in domestic animals, domestic hoofed animals. With a high carbohydrate diet, they do tend to get that irritation that causes them to walk back on their back of their hooves. So.
Learn something today. How about that? All right. So we got EHD. We've got the elf hooves. We've got something called fibroma. These are nasty, ugly-looking deer.
Yeah, that's the most common one we get, especially with trail cams. We're always getting pictures. Oh, look at this nasty deer. It's got these tumors all over it.
Yeah.
And
is it edible?
Yeah.
Yeah, are they edible? That's the question.
And they are. It doesn't, unless they're so bad that they cause some other issue or infection.
Thank you, no.
Yeah. I some of them look really bad. Yeah. They're viral. The deer, they can come and go. Once a deer has them, doesn't mean they're going to have them forever. But generally, unless they impact feeding or sight or whatever, they typically aren't a major detriment to the deer.
CWD.
Chronic wasting disease, that's the more serious one. Like CWD, we have in Allegheny County right now. That's where we found it with our sampling. Very possible it's in western Washington as well. We just haven't found a positive yet.
Mad cow
for deer, yeah. The good news is it doesn't look like humans are susceptible to it for all the research that's going on and all. But that's the one we got to watch just because it is in the same family as mad cow, which humans you know, it is a problem for humans.
Bone all your deer out, you won't have a problem.
Exactly. You know, avoid the high risk, the spinal column, the brain. You know,
no necros.
Right. And bone your meat.
Which is a good cut of deer meat.
Yeah.
Necros.
Unfortunately. Yeah. But, you know, we did change our we found a, we've had CWD since 2010. This past year, we found a positive. The past season, we found a positive closer to Cumberland. So we have actually expanded that CWD management area. So if you hunt out there, make sure you look at the hunting guide to see what that area is and the rules.
It's always important to look at the hunting guide.
Yeah.
The rules do change from time to time.
They do.
Yeah. Always good.
So, CWD.
You know, here's a little bit of a pick, and not directed at you personally, but, you know, apartment. And, you know, it's constantly reminding us to get our licenses online, mm-hmm. go to the portal, do this and do that. And
no,
the books, the hard copies of the books languish in the dealers. You know, I mean, they're stacked up in there in the corner somewhere because not everybody's going to the shops like they used to do to get their licenses. They're getting their license online. And if they want a particular regulation, you know, they'll look it up online, but they don't have that book in their hand, mm-hmm. which is always a good idea to have that book. Throw it in your truck. You know, throw it in your reading room next to your toilet and, you know, study it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, the first, in the first couple of years of the new system, they were mailing the guide and stuff to them.
Yeah.
But now I don't think licensing does that now.
No, they do not.
Probably
the mail to you is your federal or your state.
Right. And budget constraints are probably why.
Of course.
Why that was that. But yeah, you know.
That's a topic for a whole other.
You should be able to.
Budget constraints.
And as you mentioned, the guide is online. It can be downloaded. But it can be. It's a big download. I'm sure that not everybody who gets their license online downloads the whole guide so they can have it with them.
Well, you can download it, put it on your desktop if you want to refer to it. I mean, that's one way to do it, I do. But I've also got a copy of the book, a couple of them probably, in the truck. You know,
And you can stop by, you know, Walmart or someplace.
Any of the places. Well, the independent dealers, Clyde's has them.
Clyde's, anybody.
Just Speak Outdoor. They all carry extra copies.
They'll all have extra copies.
Exactly.
So,
Acres.
Yeah.
All of our sponsors. Exactly right. Okay. We've done that.
Brain abscesses.
Brain abscess disease. Well, we've got a couple. I want to talk about the nasal bots.
Mm-hmm. Nasal bots, so if you kill a deer this year and you have it hanging up and you underneath of it you start seeing some ugly looking
grub
looking things, they're nasal bots. Very common insect, but you know, many deer carry them. They're in the nasal passage of the deer.
It's a larva of a fly that gets in the nasal passage and lays an egg. Fly larva.
So
got it.
And nothing to worry about.
Nothing
to worry about.
Sure are ugly.
Yeah, other than ugly, and the thought's a little
disgusting,
weird that they're in the, nasal in the sinus cavity.
Well, I don't eat many deer heads.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't really particularly worry about that. And if it's a deer big enough to go to the taxidermist, then that's on him.
Yeah.
So let him deal with that.
Yeah.
All right. We have an article on circling disease, and you said that circling disease is not necessarily what
traditionally circling disease is caused by brain worm, which whitetails carry, but it doesn't impact impact whitetails. So but where whitetails are in proximity to say elk or moose, then it's an issue. And so circling disease, like an elk and moose is a result of brain worm. Brain abscesses, which you cover in the hunting quarterly, same symptoms. So really could consider it circling disease because, you know, it's an abscess of the brain, and one of the symptoms is, they'll stand out in the,
field and just look around
and maybe walk in circles or whatever, but that's caused by a bacteria.
Yeah, and it's, again, you get neurological damage in the brain and...
Yeah, exactly.
Behaviors are going to be...
The article's pretty extensive, and it talks about Kent County being the epicenter of the world for brain abscess disease. And it happens primarily with the larger, more mature bucks. And it's a very interesting article. These deer get to fighting. They scar each other up. The bacteria gets in the skull, and it goes into the crevices in between the...
The sutures.
Yeah, exactly. And it's in the brain and, causes an abscess, which is an infection, basically. It presses on the brain tissue. And eventually grows big enough it can separate the sutures. And, The deer will die.
Yeah.
We've got deer that are found dead every year. People don't know why. They haven't been shot, you know, and you go to pick the rack up and the piece of skull comes off with the rack.
Or you might kill a buck and it just has pus around the antlers.
Yeah.
And does do get it, too. We have had does with brain abscesses as well. But that bacteria is everywhere.
Right.
But it definitely on the upper shore seems to be more prevalent and definitely does impact bigger bucks for sure.
All right. We're going to take a little break. I want to tell the folks about JB Farms, Carroll County's newest deer processor located in Taneytown. Now, JB Farms, they'll skin and custom cut, wrap and freeze your deer. They can make your venison into tasty bologna, sausage, or even hot dogs. And JB Farms is an FHFH participating donation processor. JB Farms can handle all wild game, from game birds to exotics to big game. And JB Farms can supply you with all natural grass-fed beef, lambs, goats, chickens, rabbits, or ducks, and even free-range chicken eggs. Call JB Farms to have your deer processed. That phone number, 410-756-5656. JB Farms is located at 3523 Harney Road, just outside Taneytown, Maryland. Give Joe a call at 410-756-5656. That's 756-5656. The 2017 Great American Outdoor Show is coming up next February 4th through the 12th, 2017, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's the world's largest consumer outdoor show. It's a 9-day event celebrating hunting, fishing, and outdoor traditions. Exhibitors and events that span over 650,000 square feet. With over 1,100 exhibitors, you'll find everything you need to enjoy the outdoors, fishing, hunting, and outdoor traditions. The Great American Outdoor Show. Note it. Put it on your calendar February 4th through the 12th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. For more details on the world's largest outdoor show, be sure to visit greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. We'll be right back.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Smithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafers Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafers Gunsmithing. 240-347-4906.
above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blinds, and hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
This is Mark Levin. To take back the country, turn on your radio every weeknight at 7. 3 hours of the most important issues of our time only on Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
The following has been pre-recorded for broadcast at this time.
Friends, the idle brain is the devil's playground. Trouble!
Oh, that's all.
Right here in River City.
Right here in River City.
With a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
We
sure got trouble.
They sure got trouble.
Right here in River City.
Right here.
Gotta figure out a way to keep the young ones moral after school. Mothers of River City, heed that warning before it's too late. Watch for the telltale signs of corruption. The minute your son leaves the house, does he rebuckle his knickerbockers below the knee? Is there a nicotine stain on his index finger? A dime novel hidden in the corn crib? Is he starting to memorize jokes from Cap'n Billy's whiz bang? Are certain words creeping into his conversation? Words like swell. Aha! And so's your old man. On a show, my friends. We got trouble. Right here in River City.
Okay, we're back with Brian Eiler, Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife and Heritage Service Deer Project Leader, Phil Norman, Howard County Recreation and Parks Deer Program Director for Howard County. Talking about a number of different things here, going all over the board, but what we really want to talk about is the benefits of deer hunting, and you mentioned it in your prayer earlier on. Despite all these things that are out there, we're talking about a very, very small percentage of these deer that have these diseases. So
very
the
small.
Bulk of our Maryland deer population are very healthy, robust, very tasty and delicious.
Yeah, and most of these diseases and ailments we're talking about don't negatively impact the venison anyway.
There's a couple of them, we will focus on the high quality of our deer population, and you know, deer meat's good to eat.
Yeah,
no question.
Very healthy.
Very healthy.
Yeah,
and without a doubt, from a hunter's perspective, if you're interested in taking large, impressive bucks, the need for management focusing on harvesting antlerless animals results in more of the antlered animals reaching maturity.
Correct.
Unlike fishing, you can't throw them back
when they're
too small. So by shaping the regulations the way we have statewide and especially in this whole suburban central Maryland area, whether it was intentional or not, we've ended up producing a situation where we've got a lot of big, impressive bucks on the landscape.
We do. Bill Miles and I visited a farm. We were invited to a farm to speak to landowners and farmers on their pre-hunt meeting. There were 60 guys in the room. This is a 1,000-acre farm in Queen Anne's County. And we were invited to talk about the Maryland Hunting Coalition. And when we walked in, around the rafters of this huge building.
I've been there.
You've been there. You know where I'm talking about. were the deer, the bucks that were taken on this property prior to the exercise of what they call quality deer management. And then as the fellows showed up, they were bringing their very impressive deer heads in there. And we're talking deer that are, you know, it started at 130, 140 inches and went up from there. There were some very, very impressive deer. And the game manager said that, or the farm manager said, they've been practicing, you know, management practices that take an excessive does off the property. They've been practicing for 20 years. And at one point, I think maybe 10 years ago, they said Nobody kills a deer on this farm less than 10 points. That's a pretty impressive bunch. Now, he said last year, you know, we killed, what did he say, like 120 deer, and, you know, 20 of them were bucks. And, over the years, their percentage of antlerless deer has gone up and their antler deer has come down. But the quality of those animals has just increased, tremendously. And you could see the results if you just compare the ones in the skulls in the rafter with the sheds and the racks that are on the on the tables and on the wall right there.
Yeah,
pretty impressive stuff.
And again, sometimes it is an intentional management decision for certain landowners. But for Howard County Recreation and Parks, our primary concern is the habitat itself.
Yes.
And when you have too many deer on the habitat, they are they're called a keystone species.
Right.
In other words, many other species are impacted.
Sure.
By the amount of vegetation that these deer are eating. Typical mature deer is going to eat about a ton of vegetation every year. And I mentioned earlier we had 61 deer per square mile in our most recent surveys. That's 61 tons of vegetation per square mile being consumed by deer.
Can you get them to eat basket weave grass?
Mm-hmm. Can't get them to eat wavy leaf basket grass. Can't get them to eat the Japanese stilt grass. Can't get them to eat Oriental bittersweet or any number of other invasive
species. Then you're going to have to bring sick of deer into Howard County. That's all I got to tell you, because they'll eat anything.
But, we'll touch on that here in a second.
They're expanding their way there. Yeah, they just got across the bay, right, bro?
That's a good point, though, with these exotic species because, it's twofold. Not only do whitetails not eat these problematic plants, but they eat everything that allows these problematic plants to thrive.
Exactly.
So it's a double whammy.
Exactly.
It really is. So. Yeah.
And there's all sorts of small mammals and birds that breed in that deer browse zone, first 5 feet from the forest floor up, that are impacted because that habitat's stripped out.
Yeah.
And, the nesting birds are more visible, more prone to be preyed upon. There are studies that have shown that the spread of the Japanese barberry, invasive alien, really thorny, nasty plant, allows the deer mice to survive longer. And hence, more deer mice are likely to be infected with the Lyme disease bacteria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that your risk of Lyme disease in a region is increased when you've got a lot of Japanese barberry in the natural areas.
Controlled burn.
That'll just bring back more barberry.
Probably would. Yeah. It's amazing that the plant and animal species that are here in Maryland, some are, guests and some are beneficial.
A lot of
invasive, nasty stuff, plants and animals.
And a lot of it came from ornamentals.
Sure.
Landscaping, and they look pretty.
Like ornamental snakehead.
They look pretty, yeah. So,
exactly. Got it. We didn't talk much about sick of deer.
Yeah.
Let's touch on sick of deer a little bit.
They're doing great.
I know they're doing great.
They are tasty.
They're more tasty than white.
We're still, the harvest is steady for them. We're 25 to 3,000 every year we're taking.
Yeah.
Taking some really big animals. Some really big animals.
Yeah.
Recently, I've seen some really nice ones. I work the Blackwater hunt. I'm actually at Blackwater today. They're hunting opening day this year, so I'll be working Blackwater at the check station. But
one of our writers, Dave Seacott, shot one down there, dressed 125 pounds.
Yeah,
big old nasty old spike or four point.
Yeah, we're seeing some really big bodied animals.
And that sick of deer can live a lot longer than a whitetail.
They do. I don't know physically whether they actually do. I mean, they do down there because of the habitat.
Yeah.
We have females that we have verified over 20 years. I think it's possible for a whitetail to live that long, but they're just normally harvested before before that happens. But, they definitely are longer lived in Maryland than whitetails, sick of deer are.
So,
neat critter.
Very neat critter.
I mean, they're a lot of fun to hunt.
They are
a lot of fun to hunt.
Yeah, my grandson shot one this year. My fascination with them was started in the late 80s. I shot my very first one, which happened to be a 6-point. I haven't killed a 6-point in 30 years.
Yeah, you started out
Started out
the top. You only had one way to go.
Yeah. and it's been that way.
Exactly. All downhill from
all
there.
All downhill, yeah. So I keep waiting for that 6-point step out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they are tasty and delicious. Yeah. And the good news is that Robin and I went to the Game On cooking demonstration at the Waterfowl Festival on Sunday the 13th or whatever day that was. And the cook made a venison tenderloin, stuffed venison tenderloin, wrapped in bacon, and then served it. And Robin's new goal is to learn how to cook deer meat correctly.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy with
good.
That.
Wrapping in bacon is always a good start.
It's always a good start, yeah. No matter what you do with else, whatever else you do with it, it's a good start.
Yeah. But, sea cadet are doing well.
They're,
you know, we like them indoors, you know, talking about invasives and species. I mean, I wouldn't call sea cadet invasive, but they
not
are non-native.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we like where they are in Dorchester and on the lower shore, but we don't necessarily want a whole Maryland.
We heard there was a roadkill not about a week or 10 days ago within the city limits of Easton on Route 50.
Was it really? Yeah. That doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me. Yeah. Delaware's had some roadkills. Delaware's had several in the harvest. We've had confirmed sightings in Kent County.
Caroline?
We get Caroline. We typically kill a few every year in Caroline County. But
anything in Queen Anne?
No confirmed sightings in Queen Anne's, but I'm sure.
We've got fallow deer in Cecil County.
Yeah, there's some pockets of fallow deer around. Yeah, just remnants from they were either escapees or you know, we don't allow deer farming in Maryland, thankfully. But in the past, there was some smaller, you know,
operations,
if you want to call them that. But
So
there are some pockets of fallow deer around. The biggest probably is in Talbot.
Yeah.
Around Easton.
Yeah.
So they show up every now and
every
then.
Every now and then?
Yeah, in the harvest. So.
And they're all legal.
Yeah.
You see a deer in Maryland and you want to take it, you take it.
Yeah,
you
know, fallow deer just substitute for a whitetail in the bag limit.
Yeah, have a funky rack looking thing.
Yeah.
Off color.
Yeah.
Probably a fallow.
Yeah, there's different color variations. You can see them almost looking like a whitetail to a dark chocolate. There's some different variations.
Not in Howard County, though.
Not that I know of.
Or
sick of reports. No reports.
No reports. Mm-hmm. I guess we just have to keep growing whitetails. What can I say?
Do what you're good at.
Do what you're good at. Yep.
Try and stop us now.
Exactly right. Yeah. Well, look, we want to welcome you fellas for being here. We've touched on a lot, and we hope some folks have been entertained and learned something a little bit here today. You know, all of us are in the deer woods. You're going to be at Blackwater working. Yeah. Where are you hunting today? Not safe.
You can tell people. He just smiled benignly and didn't say a thing.
Didn't say a thing. All right. Very good. Well, hopefully something will happen in Cecil County with my grandson. He always gets the first shot. And, you know, I'll follow up later. You know, that's how I am. So.
Get that 10-point.
What's that?
Get that 10-point.
Well, he wasn't with me in the stand last year, the first day. He was in North Carolina. Yeah, so he killed his 11-point on Youth Day last year.
Yeah.
So it was all good. All right, time for me to tell the folks one more time about Clyde Sport Shop. If something goes wrong with your firearm today, if you bump your scope, if you drop your gun, and we hope you don't, but if something happens and your gun malfunctions, we want to let you know that Clyde Sport Shop has a full-line gunsmith, and it's also time to think about if you're done fishing for the year, get your rods and reels in there to get tuned and upgraded and repaired and get the tips put on your rods and get the gears all lubed in your fishing reels, get new line put on for 2017. Clyde Sport Shop, located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108. And before we go to the break and end the show, just want to say thank you to Phil Norman. Thank you to Brian Eiler for being here today, guys.
Thanks, Alan.
Pleasure.
Yep, appreciate it. And we'll be out of here till next week when we're back live, and we'll pull the winner for the muzzleloader contest next week. It's time for us to say, get out, stay safe.
Right now, in conflict zones, refugee camps, and remote villages around the world, Doctors Without Borders is delivering emergency medical care. With your support, our medical teams respond quickly when conflicts, deadly outbreaks, or natural disasters strike. Doctors Without Borders is funded by individual donors around the world, so our independence and impartiality allow us access to patients in need, in places others often won't go. Doctors Without Borders is dedicated to delivering high-quality medical care in the worst circumstances. Doctors Without Borders is saving a life somewhere right now. Please support us today by visiting doctorswithoutborders.org. You make our work possible.
Hi, I'm Minnie Driver, and I'm here to share some important information about ovarian cancer. Although it's more common in older women, ovarian cancer can affect women of all ages, even in their 20s. There is no early detection test, and symptoms can be subtle. But even though you can't see it, you can take steps to get ahead of it by knowing your risk factors, such as family history of cancer and presence of gene mutations like BRCA. So talk to your family and talk to your doctor. Knowing this information will help you take control of your health and be more aware of the vague signs that could indicate ovarian cancer. We're learning more every day, and we will continue our collaborative research for diagnosing and treating this devastating disease. Be proactive. Know your risk factors, and the sooner the better. Just because you can't see ovarian cancer doesn't mean it's not there. To learn more about the symptoms, risk factors, and research, go to su2c.org/ovarian.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
At St. Jude, a family never sees a bill at all, not one bill. It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders.
The treatment doesn't get any better than what you receive at St. Jude. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, we didn't have the treatments we have now. We cure 80% of children with cancer. If you think about that, I mean, go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine. We understand what makes this cancer tick. And of course, without donors from around the world, this just couldn't happen. And there's one thing we're focused on here at St. Jude, and that's beating this thing.